Welcome to the Motivational Firewood Radio Show, hosted by keynote speaker, author, and vision board mastery creator, Steve Gamlin. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
Welcome back, my friends, to the Motivational Firewood Radio Show. Today we have a very cool guest. Her name is Jacqueline Perez, and she is the founder of Cool Life. Now, she's been in business forever. She returned to the stage in her early 50s. Now, we're going to have to find out about why she was away from the stage for so long. Loves to travel, is also a Peloton aficionado, as I am. I have been for a while now. So we're going to have to find out who our names are on screen and follow each other on Peloton. So Jack, welcome to Motivational Firewood Radio Show.
Steve, thank you so much for hosting me. I am thrilled to be here.
Very excited to meet somebody who's on the positive same track that I am, because believe me, matching energy is a really important thing on this show. So I've got to ask, first off, you know, Cool Life is the name of your website, your company, but it's got a very interesting spelling. So if you wouldn't mind, explain where Cool, K-U-E-L, came from.
Steve, I got it. I stole it, borrowed it, usurped it right from the Urban Dictionary. I have no shame. Right. Well, you know, some people use thesauruses, some people use dictionary, you know, the Webster Merriam dictionary, which I'm a big fan of as well. But yes, when I wanted to build this business and I was looking for the nomenclature, you know, like what the brand name was going to be, I really wanted to focus on how cool it is to be in midlife and beyond, and how amazing the season of life is if we choose it to be that way. And so I wanted a name that reflected that from me, and Cool was definitely living a cool life the entire time you're here is definitely something that is what I strive for. And so I wanted that embedded somehow in the brand name. But of course, you know, the regular old spelling, C-O-O-L, you can't really use those because it's not trademarkable. It's just, you know, it's just a normal everyday word. You can't really use it very, very well. So I went with a different spelling, and that's how I got there.
And now that you've done it, so many people look at it like I did and said, wow, that's really cool. That's really interesting. It's really different. And I'll share a real quick story. The license plate on my vehicle is Inspire, I-N-S-P-Y-R-E. And some people at first were like, you misspelled it. Now other people look and they go, that is so cool. Why did you spell it that way? Is it because you want to know your why? And I just say, no, it's because when I tried to get the regular spelling, it wasn't available. And I thought that was kind of cool.
How we get there sometimes isn't so inspiring. Like some people thought that it had to do with my name, because my name is Jacqueline, which has a U-E-L in there. And so, you know, a Q-U-E-L. And so people were like, they want to read into it. You know, they want to like, oh, so it's a derivative of your name, Jacqueline. I'm like, no, it's not that complicated. It just really isn't.
Yeah, we don't put as much thought into things as some people think. You know, and that's happened so many times over the years. And in looking through your website, there's a phrase that I loved, second act sisters. And one of the things that I've talked about a lot over the past couple of years with the clients that I deal with and the companies I work with, as people are going back to whatever normal is going to be, so many people are saying, I don't want to go back to that. I need a second act, a third act, a fourth act. I work with people in their fifth or sixth acts of their lives. So, and you're speaking to the perfect audience for this. So explain a bit of what's behind it. And I know you started off creating all the content yourself, and now you've got a whole bunch of people who are like-minded, who are sharing their insights, their stories, their revelations. So explain a bit about the website and about the community that you've created.
So Steve, so I mean, you kind of nailed it though. I mean, I don't really have to add much to it, but yes, exactly what you just said. I started it because I felt there was a real need for information, empowering, actionable information about the opportunities and challenges that present themselves in the second, third, fourth, fifth act, whatever label you want to put on it. Things start to get complicated and complex towards this season of life, right? I mean, for instance, if you had children, if you had a family, you may be dealing with some unruly teens at the same time that you're dealing with an ailing or aging parent. And that's called the sandwich generation. There's many of us stuck in there. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, add to that, that as women, every other human goes through this physiological hormonal change that really can wreak havoc. Now, it doesn't have to. I know plenty of women who have sailed through it, and more power to them. But for those of us that were run over by that menopause train, we needed a place to go to get this information, to be able to know that we were normal and that what we're experiencing is not in isolation, that other women have had these experiences. And what's even more important is finding those individuals who are experts in those topics who can then help us by dispensing empowering, actionable information, tips, advice that we can then employ to make this season of life an even better season than it already is.
Yeah. And people who've gone through it, I love that you say that, because there's so many people out there who, I'm a thought leader, and they spit out this garbage all day long in my industry, personal development, rah, 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 buy my stuff. And there's so much of that going on that I love the realness. I love the real factor of all of that.
Yeah. These women are schooled, are trained, have been in their industry for years. There's some pretty big, heavy hitting, muckety muck women on that platform. And what I love is that it's global, Steve. I have women from Mallorca, from New Zealand, from the UK, from Canada, all over the US. We have a cross-cultural platform, which I believe really adds a lot of value, because different perspectives across different cultures, I think, can only help, not make things worse, but I think it can actually help.
And you've been to a lot of these places as well. I know you love to travel, and you do speak Spanish fluently, which will help you out. I can't even ask for a bathroom in Spanish. French and German, I'm okay, but Spanish, not so much. But what do you love most about travel? Because you've been to so many of the places where some of these women who are now contributing to your platform, where they live. So you can understand culturally a little bit more than somebody like myself who doesn't really travel very much.
Yes, I am on a quest to get to 60 countries by the time I'm 60. I'm at 55, but I'm about to leave next week for Vietnam, the Philippines, and Qatar, I think is how you pronounce it. I've been trying to figure out how to spell that. Where they had the soccer matches this past summer. Yes. So my hope is to get to 60 countries by the time I'm 60. What I love, and I just got asked this question not that long ago, Steve, is what I love about how much I have traveled and how extensively I've traveled is that when I meet these individuals and share space and time and get to know them and share a meal or have a cup of coffee, what I love is that no matter where they're from, no matter what race, gender, age, political leanings, at the end of the conversation, we both realize that we are far more similar than we are dissimilar, and that we're able to relate to one another and our quote unquote plights in life, whatever those might be. I mean, we all care about our health, and we care about the health of our loved ones, and we care about our families, and we care about our pets. We're not all that different. We're all not that different. Whether you live in the jungles of Paraguay or you live in a high rise in New York City, it doesn't really matter. We're far, far more similar than dissimilar.
And I wish more people got that, you know, in the age when information is shared so quickly and everybody's so divisive these days, you know, it's this or that, it's black or white, it's this, and causing chaos and drama. When you can sit and have a real conversation with somebody halfway around the world, there's such a warmth to that that I wish, I mean, you and I do this because of what we do and how we do it and who we are, but I wish more people got just how simple it could be to have an energetic connection with somebody like this. And your platform, to somebody who may feel completely isolated, who wants that as well, it's a great place for people to plug in and feel that, because you have so many contributors now who are part, it's a worldwide, it's a global platform.
Yes. There are, I think by the end of February, I will have 60 women from around the world. And if you look back, I'm about to turn officially five in February 14th, which is Valentine's Day. 5 years ago is the actual day that we soft launched the website, right? And when I mean soft launched, I mean, it was a piece of crud. It was built by me. It was built with chewing gum, you know, maybe a little toothpaste, buckets of tears. And it had, you know, maybe like four or five articles all written by me, you know? And so that was quote, our big launch. I had no social media presence, nothing. And fast forward 5 years, and now I have 60 women who contribute globally to that platform, their expertise, their tips and advice, and offer their products and services to our community. I've also started to find and identify those women-driven brands that create products and services that are designed for us. Because, Steve, there is a huge chasm between mini skirts and Depends adult diapers, right? And that space between when a woman maybe doesn't want to wear the super, super short skirt, but she's not incontinent either, you know, she's still vibrant. She still has a lot to offer. That is the space in which Cool Life resides. That is the space in which these women write and share their expertise and advice.
I love that. And I'm going to turn 55 a day before your business turns 5. So February 13th.
Happy birthday.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And happy anniversary to your company as well and all the growth you've had. And I can so relate to having one of what I refer to as the MacGyver website. You know, the thing that's held together like MacGyver, the original TV series. He would save the world with a paperclip, a Hershey bar, and a little piece of aluminum foil from like a ring-ding wrapper or something. But
yes.
So many people are unwilling to flip that switch, to make that site go live, to do their first post on social media, to write their first article. And you've got to, you know, I've got one of my earliest keynote speeches, what's called Some Days Your Phoenix Rides a Pogo Stick, because I've never been afraid to fall back into the fire by making a mistake. Because every time, even though my tail feathers burn off, when they grow back, they're brighter, they're stronger, and I can always fly higher. You were willing to flip the switch. And now look where the site, the community is. You got 54 brands that are part of your site. You got 60 contributors, where you started off just doing everything yourself, just trying to keep the darn thing working when somebody clicked on a button.
Yeah, I have to tell you, the pogo stick thing is, I love that analogy. And I
thank you.
Can I borrow that? Because that's really good.
Yeah, it's just something somebody said one time. I was somewhere talking to a coach or a mentor, and they said, how would you describe your life? And that just fell out. Some days your phoenix rides a pogo stick.
I totally relate to that. And, you know, to your point, the reality is that if we wait until everything is the way we think it should be, then we're never going to get anything accomplished. We're just not. I bet I could create a list and it would be fairly lengthy of all of the things that I attempted over the last 5 years that failed miserably. Mm-hmm. I mean, failed miserably. Like sweep it under the rug, hope it gets really buried and nobody searches for that thing in SEO ever again, because whoa, that didn't work out the way I expected it to.
Yep.
But it's out there. You know, my pogo stick phoenix is out there, whether it's up on the top or down at the bottom in the ravine. It's all out there for the world to see and consume. And I'm hoping that other women and even men realize that it doesn't matter. You don't have to have it perfect. That we want to know that other humans are also struggling, that other humans are flawed like the way we are, and that it doesn't have to be perfect for it to be effective.
And I had a conversation with a fellow speaker. He's also a fitness trainer the other day. And he said, and he also puts on events, and he was being very authentic and vulnerable about one of his earliest experiences, about how it all just fell apart and was miserable. And 4 out of his 5 speakers bailed on him at the last second. One showed up and just knocked it out of the park. And I shared one of my earliest events where one person showed up and it was the only person I allowed to come for free. Everybody who was supposed to pay bailed. And I just open and honest. I go, this is my experience of putting on my first event. And he said, I've never seen anybody be that open and honest about it. Hey, maybe you want to come speak at one of my events. I'm thinking, because we tried it and it was imperfect and we threw ourselves out there. Now, I don't tell the story to beat myself up. I tell the story to show how far I've come.
Absolutely. I have a friend who likes to say, you know, hashtag what if it's better when something goes south. So if something's going south and it's not working, and we could get really overburdened with the failing of it all and what that means. And we can should and would and could ourselves and the awful talk that we do. But honestly, just turn it upside down and say to yourself, what if it's better? What if this new iteration, what if whatever is next, what if this thing had to fail, had to be eliminated so that the next thing that shows up is better?
Yeah.
And anyone can do that. Anyone can say that. Because mm-hmm. while we can't change how we feel, we can change the words that we use in our own head. And those words then affect the actual feeling that happens in our body. And so when we're feeling that we're failing, when we're feeling despondent and sometimes maybe a little hopeless, like, oh my God, how bad is this going to get? Just change the conversation.
We have to be really careful with how bad could it get? And oh my gosh, what else could possibly go wrong? Because the universe, law of attraction, however you choose to describe it, I teach this stuff. It will literally giggle if you throw that opportunity out there, and they'll say, hey, Jack wants to know how much worse it can get.
We're gonna show her.
We're gonna show her. Yeah. And I remember saying everyone, a few times, I don't need any
wake
more
up
stories.
Everyone. Yes,
we're gonna throw Jack another learning experience here, because well, she asked for it. Yeah,
right. So if you say instead, what if it's better? What if what's about to happen is better?
Yeah,
and chances are it will be, actually.
Yeah, in my view on that has always been that which doesn't kill me gives me a great story to share on stage. And the funniest questions I ever get is, Steve, how do you make up those stories you tell on stage? And I just looked at somebody one time. I did the little head tilt like a puppy and went, really?
They're not made up.
Have you not been watching my life over the past 20 years, from blowing up a radio career, first marriage, and any shred of financial stability to literally falling in the ashes, which is where the Phoenix story started 20 years ago? Till now, what part of this journey do you think I've had to make up? Now, do I add adjectives and paint pictures with words? Yes, I do. Did I have to make up any experiences? No, I did not.
So I write a weekly essay, and it's called Jack's Smack. And I write about just a variety of things, just anything that pops into my, it could be the story that I shared when my son and I went to go see Hugh Jackman on Broadway in The Music Man, and we brought underwear to throw on stage before the show. And we actually took them out and got people to take pictures of us as we were pretending. We didn't throw them on stage. Yeah. You know, we're not that classless, but my point being that, like, I write all these essays and people are like, oh, do you make this stuff up? And I'm like, no, I don't make this stuff up. Now, do I embellish to make it funnier? Sure, I'll do that. I'll embellish, but it's factual. This is the way I live my life.
Yeah. And the way we do it, it becomes memorable. And that's what I love the most. I mean, we've not met in person yet. I've not seen you on stage yet. And I'm so happy you returned to the stage at age 51. I'm not sure. Was there a gap in between just when you were very busy with your businesses or the launch, or?
Raising a son, making a living.
Yeah.
You know, and I did martial arts for 10 years, and that was a huge time commitment. That was a huge time commitment, doing martial arts for 10 years. I got to third degree black belt, and that was a very big time sink, training hours and hours and hours every week. That basically was, quote unquote, my stage, my church, my club, my family, my friend group, you name it. I lived in that arena for 10 years. And so once I was kind of past that, I decided that I wanted to return to the stage. And so I went and did a variety show, singing and dancing and acting, which is what I really like to do. So it was fun. And, you know, it's good to challenge ourselves, to keep ourselves sharp and on point, because if not, we can get bored and isolated, and that's not healthy. That's not healthy for us.
Yeah, I know the past couple of years, because, you know, let's face it, in the spring of 2020, I owned a DJ business at the time, and I've also been a speaker now for almost 20 years. Everything went away. And although I saved a ton on dry cleaning, which was wonderful, I just was dressing nicely from the waist up on a webcam for, I mean, really now close to 3 years with only one or two live events. What I noticed, though, when I got back on stage, I was better, because I'd taken all of the energy it took to engage with an entire room and put it into a little camera. And when I got back in the room, I went eyeball to eyeball instead of just vaguely looking. in all these directions. So was there a difference for you in getting back on stage at age 51 versus when you stopped, 10 years prior?
I had stopped way earlier than that. I think I stopped in my 20s. Yes, it was different. There's a little bit of like, oh my gosh, am I too old for this? Right. The words I'm saying, the songs I'm singing, are they appropriate? Am I allowed to do this? There's a little bit of that.
Yeah.
But the nice thing, and you probably can relate to this, I think that people who enjoy being on stage, there's something that happens when you get up there and that light gets turned on and you can't really see much past that bright light in your face. You have to get past that light to make that eye contact, right? You have to get past that initial blinding. But once I'm up there, all my misgivings, any doubt, any fear, just it goes out the window, and I just become that person that needs to be there on that stage. And for that time, it just nothing. I'm you can't reach me, right? You can't reach Jack. She's doing her thing, you know. So yeah. I think when I was younger, that space was harder for me to get to quickly, because I think I had a lot more fear of how people were going to react to me or accept me or like me. And one of the benefits of being almost, well, I'm 58 now. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you don't like me. Yeah. Like, I really, honestly don't care, Steve. I don't.
Yeah. And I've got a little hashtag in my head whenever it's, you know, somebody's being a hater on social media or whatever. In my head, I just say, oh, that's wonderful. You have a right to your opinion. Hashtag up yours. Because it's not offensive. I even have a little sign upstairs with hashtag up yours written on it. I've taken selfies and sent them to certain people, you know, jokingly, not to be an arrogant jerk to fight with them. But when they say, well, this, I just say hashtag up yours. It doesn't bother me. And it would have been my 20s and even 30s back when I was on the radio. Gosh.
It's a great space to live in, right? Where you like yourself enough that you don't need anybody else to like you. For it to be okay.
I love the feeling. In 25 years ago, I wondered if I would ever get there. And all of a sudden, I found out I'm actually there.
Yes.
It's a really good place to be. Now, I do want to respect your time, but I've got to hear about the skydiving mishap, because I've got one in my past as well. I would love to hear yours in the lesson, because I know you extracted a lesson out of this. I mean, come on, look who we are and look how we are and what we do. So what's the lesson of the skydiving mishap?
So interestingly enough, the skydiving mishap, I my son was going off to college and we were going to drive him to the mountains. He's going to school like 2.5 hours away. Mm-hmm. And so the day that we were going to take him, my godson, who had just turned 18, wanted to jump out of an airplane and had asked my son to do it with him. And I thought to myself, not exactly sure why, but this is the thought that occurred to me. I can't let those boys jump out of an airplane by themselves. What if something goes wrong?
Oh, no.
As if I have any control or can affect any change on the outcome of that jump. But nonetheless, I got on that plane to jump out of that plane with them. And I had already done it twice before. So it wasn't that big of a deal. My landing, I did not land very well. And so I ended up breaking 3 vertebrae.
Oh my gosh.
Guess who did not take her son to college? Guess who spent 22 hours in the emergency room, hunched over in a wheelchair, because it was during the pandemic. They had no room for me. In hindsight, I'm lucky I'm not paralyzed. The fact that they didn't lay me down on a board on the floor, even, it's just crazy. I went from being, you know, active, you know, taking names, you know, kicking butts, you know, doing this, doing that, to basically lying down. For about 3 months, I spent 20 to 22 hours lying down, looking at the ceiling. What I learned was that I have some amazing people in my life who really love and care for me. My primary partner showed up in a way that I would never have guessed. And while I don't recommend testing your primary relationship in such a way, I don't. I would not go back and say, oh, you know, let me cause this horrible accident to see like what this person's made out of. But regardless, that's what the universe put in front of me. And that's what I ended up having to go through. my primary partner showed up in such a way that I was cared for, loved, and felt motivated to completely heal and come back. And I did. So the accident happened like in August. By that following April, I was in Charleston running the 10K.
Wow. There you go. Second act, third act, fourth act right there.
Because you can.
Yep.
You know, because you can.
And I bet you saw all of that happening when you were staring at that ceiling for so many hours a day of, okay, there's something out there better than this. Maybe I can't hop up off this wherever I am right now. But you just keep getting back in the game. You just keep bouncing higher every single time. And, you know,
the pogo stick.
Yeah, yeah. The Phoenix doesn't have to fly as high as, well, I jumped out of all three planes at 13.5. You don't have to go that high again. But you just keep going. You just keep going. You just keep going. Because you never know who you're going to inspire just by showing up today.
Yep. And honestly, one of the things that came out of that accident was my sharing with the world, my public service announcement that being fit, being physically fit, it's not a vanity play at our age. And you can say, well, Jack, I'm not going to jump out of an airplane, so I don't have to worry about getting hurt that way. No. You can break a hip walking the family dog. You know, your ankle rolls off of the sidewalk, or you slip on a piece of ice because you live in a place where it's cold. And the next thing you know, you're on the ground and you're seriously injured. So the best thing we can do for ourselves is to be as fit as possible for when that happens, we can come back faster.
And I tested that this morning during my morning workout. We got some snow here again last night, and then it was freezing rain and ice and rain. Skating down our parking lot in sneakers, shorts, and a sweatshirt, using our two trash cans, regular and recycling, with the wheels on them. And I was between them, and all of a sudden they both started to toboggan. And I wish we had security cameras outside of our house, but all I could think of was I'm going to fall and hurt myself and not going to be able to work out. So luckily, my Tina, my wife, was not looking out the window, because she would have said, why did you do that? You're in sneakers, shorts, sweatshirt. You have boots 20 feet away inside the basement that I walked past to go out and do this. So yeah, taking care of our health, very, very important. And Jack, how can people learn more about you, about your platform, about the programs you have, the products you have, and all of the great contributors you have all around the world? I know it's all on this one amazing site. Please tell everybody how to get there and learn more about you.
Yeah, it is there for everyone. It absolutely costs nothing to go get this information. It costs nothing to go look at these women at the About page and review them and read their articles and be motivated by them and moved by them. And it's Kuel Life, K-U-E-L, Life, L-I-F-E.com. And so you just go there and the world's your oyster there if you are in midlife and beyond. So that's it.
Straight out of the Urban Dictionary, KuelLife.com. Jack, thank you so much for being a part of the Motivational Firewood Radio Show today.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you for listening. For more information on how you can create a more vivid, focused future with the Vision Board Mastery Program, or to invite Steve to be part of your next event, please visit SteveGamlin.com.